Welcome, welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio. We're back via the podcast. Thanks to Evan Borland, as ever, for the Power Hour Push, and Donna Marie for the news. Joe Dex is here, the man with the great name. He ended up being a DJ. Joe, that was that fits well. My man, producing as ever. Thanks, Joe. Parik Hulfrey in studio. Parik,
how you doing, Brandon?
What up, my man?
You're keeping well, yeah?
You're keeping well. I am keeping not too bad. What about you?
I'm all good. I'm a bit better now. You can hear me, Brandon.
That's it. Huh? I know. It's who's running this show? Joe, it's your fault. I'm not taking the blame for that.
Blame Joe.
We invite you up and then you can't even talk.
I'll
tell you what, boys. What a weekend. Shortly, as I say, it's double delight for Donegal. The hurlers beating Mayo and the Nicky record as well. Another victory for the lads. Niall Cleary's coming up later to give us his take on that one in Donald Park. And of course, we headed for the green pastures of the Celtic Park in Derry. Double Ulster champions, league champions. We hadn't a prayer, Park, but yet.
Get your elbow
in Jim,
there,
we trust. In Jim, we trust.
It was a bit of an ambush, I think it was the word that was being used. And funny, just thinking back to last Monday night, there was a couple of things that raised his head. We didn't know what Donegal team was going to be starting, so that was kind of, everyone was wondering, would Brendan McCall be starting, Jason McGee be starting? How influential both those guys were.
Huge.
Look, Brendan, it was a massive performance, let's be honest. Yeah. You know, yeah. A tactical masterstroke by Jim McGuinness, his team as well, you know, to actually go in there and do that, you know, Brendan, when you look back to last year where they were, and the rhetoric coming into this game was Derry, Derry, Derry. But to be fair to some of the Derry pundits, like, they pointed out that they were worried about this game. But I don't think they've seen, you know, Donegal scoring.
Well, we got overhyped. I know, listen, Kevin Casty and Carol came, we shot the breeze about the game. They'll be coming on shortly, Park, to give us, I had to talk to them earlier. We recorded a wee piece with the two lads there. But do you know what? See the buzz out in the pitch and after the game. I was just thinking, you know, from Patton to Aaron Doherty and the subs that come in, you know, it's impossible to start talking with people because everybody played well.
They did,
and then you would leave somebody out. I mean, obviously, Ryan McHugh was man of the match. Some people maybe say Jason McGee. I mean, you'd have to say, particularly obviously for Murr, like Kieran Murr, championship debut.
Fantastic.
Expect it now that he's going to play that well, but there was so much energy from the team all over. You know, it was just another McGuinness team. He's just brought it right back to
it was the energy that they brought straight away. And suppose Brendan got in there, Derry got the start, you know, and Donegal had to respond. And, you know, the confidence was building in Derry. And you were thinking, suppose, when you were watching it, you were going, right, okay, how's this going to play out, you know? But they composed themselves. Sean Patton got the long kickouts going. That flick over the top. And I know, like, the goals, suppose the keeper was out of his nets. But Darrell Boyle, for the first one, I thought, you know, he timed the kick into the back, the shot, you could say. And he's done that, you know, he's got that in his locker. And suppose, listening to Dara, he did an interview a couple of months ago, just Jim allows him to express himself on the pitch. And I think that's great from a footballing point of view. Yeah. You know, that creativity. Go for the juggler. Yeah. Go for the juggler, because there's been so much of that kind of maintained possession and everything else.
Well, Boyle's been brilliant all year too. He just that wee injury, he missed a small bit of time, but he had so much. We basically got a team of, you know, there must be like, what, 8 half forwards playing in the team, and so they can do everything. They can defend, they can attack. You know, we've got, so we like I was just saying the boys, and we've only really got 2 defenders in the team, and then everybody else acts as a defender, but when we get it, then it's boom, shake, shake, shake the room, as Will Smith used to say.
It is, and it's the energy, Brent, and it's the fitness. Like, I was just looking back on the game, was it last night, and again, looking at Keelan McGonigal playing at number 6. Now, he went up and down. The first run he did, he nearly got a goal out of it, but if you look at the 73rd minute, he made a run, I think it was from full back. Yeah. He ran the whole way to the pitch. Just the fitness levels as well was...
And you know what's interesting about him, Murray, is when he runs with the ball, he actually nearly wants the tackle in terms of he can solo, take the tackle and keep going. Very few players can do that. He's completely in control as he's been tackled, as he's soloing the ball. Very few players can do it. If you watch the likes of Murray coming out, he strides the same way, but the legs open up and he avoids the tackle, whereas Big Keelan seems to, come on, come at me and I'm going to push you off and I'm away.
He has that strength, and he has that strength and ability. But look, the big talk going into the game as well, there was a lot of players, like as we spoke about during the week, was who's going to nullify this player, who's going to nullify that player. Like Brendan McCall and Shane McGuigan.
4 games out too. I mean, I mean, you'd have thought he'd been rusty, but McCall is unreal. I mean, what a find he's been for Donegal. Like, in terms of, there's very few players, and we talk about very few fullbacks, there's very few man markers in any team now that are decent. Because if you're 1-1 now, it's like, forget about it. But McCall can handle his pace. He can handle the top forwards, you know, and give as good as he gets.
And like in that, first of all, you're Shane McGuigan, you come out and you go, here comes Brendan McCall. Straight away, it's something he has to think about more so. Yeah. But look, it's kind of, as you said, it's very hard to single out players. Because
I don't always start talking with too many, because listen, even me, Curran's tigerish, is, you know, he's in there, you know, harrying and hassling, you know. There was a couple of dodgy decisions from Goff, I thought, in the game. Against us, you know, couple over carries, and you're like, Chris, what is he doing there, you know? And the mad situation, we didn't talk about this earlier, about Patton having to go off. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, in soccer, the keeper is allowed to get treated. Everybody else has to go off. You can't have your keeper on the sideline up the pitch and the ball.
It was... I never seen it before until Saturday night, like, you know. But I know we didn't want to really single anybody out, whatever, but... You look at the performance Jason McGee put on as well, you know, and
we may as well single them all.
Out. We're just giving them
we'll
all.
Just keep going.
Don't build them up too much now. But again, look, you know, it was again another performance by a guy who was out for so long, missed so much football, couldn't get back, constantly just getting niggles, had to take time out, you know, to come back and have a performance like that, Brendan. But look, I think as we were talking about as well, you're scratching your head and you're looking at Derry here and the Derry management team, you know, to allow the keeper continue to come out.
Yeah, listen.
I don't know. You
wouldn't see it. If you've seen an underage game, you'd be like, who's on the line there? We'd tell that keeper to get in these nets. The hell? What are you at?
Yeah.
But sure, listen, that's what they stuck with, and sure, we profited from it, so no harm. As I say, Pádraig, we'll throw up the piece here. I spoke with former county star Kevin Cass and Cara O'Kane from the Irish News earlier today. Cara and Kevin, you're welcome to the show, lads.
Thanks, Brendan.
Cheers, Timmy.
Good man. Hey, listen, first of all, we have to say commiserations to Cahar, of course. He went at Derry fan to the game at the weekend. Cahar, tell me, ambush, is that the way to describe it? Or what exactly happened? Is the media, which you are part of, overblowing this Derry team? Or can you sum it up for us what exactly went wrong and what happened? I know, listen, we're not going too deep with that, but Cahar, were you surprised, first of all, by the outcome of the game and how it went?
I was in some regard. I was surprised in the manner of the victory and the end up the comfort of the Donegal victory, that they ended up freewheeling down the hill in the last 10 minutes. But I think I'd actually said to you the last night I was on that I was worried that Derry were being overhyped in terms of their run of league fixtures were 13, 14, 15 of Derry's championship team against 7, 8, 9 of everybody else's.
Yeah.
And there was a sense of, look, ambush is the right word, but there was a sense there was an ambush coming. Now, I didn't think it would be as successful as it was, but I knew that Donegal were going to bring something serious to the party, and they did, and they played a wee bit on. I mean, there's the thing of Jim McGuinness having 6 months to look at Derry. There's no chance that Derry spent 6 months looking at Donegal. I think a lot of Derry's focus in the league would have been on the league and particularly then on Dublin in the latter part of it when it became clear that that was going to be the league final. So Derry hadn't done the work. And you could see that in the way the two teams approached the game. Derry pretty much looked like they said, we're going to play the way we play. This is the way we play. And Donegal laid plans and laid traps and laid systems around that and banked on Derry playing the way they would play. And it just fell perfectly for them. Then they did exactly as Derry expected them to do. And that was why the plans then worked so well. And they just came off brilliantly.
Yeah. And Kevin, just talking to some of the players there, and Cahar's just mentioned there about the Donegal plan. It's as if Donegal had this completely mapped out to a level where they even knew the Derry subs were going to come on at different. That's the word filtering through, that as Cahar was saying there, you know, Derry, a lot of things going on there around up in Division 1 and the final and beating all the big teams and laying down markers, whereas Donegal seemed to be sitting waiting. And Jim seemed to have this down to a complete T around weaknesses and how to break up this Derry momentum. And I thought Donegal would kind of look to shake this Derry belief you know, maybe coming into the second half in terms of, you know, being level or try and get ahead. But really, you know, going four up in the first half and Derry really falling into Donegal counter-attack. Were you surprised at Derry's tactics that they didn't try and change it there, Kim?
100%, Davey. Like, to me, there's two parts. The first part was, listen, everybody knew that Jim was going to do this and going to go after this. So, like, Donegal was so good in what they did and they were so well-prepared. Like, they went after the areas that us looking in kind of knew they would go after. But to me, it's just baffling that Derry didn't see this coming. Do you know what I mean? And, like, it's not there's two parts. I thought Donegal were excellent. They carried everything out to a T, their energy, their matchups, the areas they went after, the areas they protected. Like, McGuigan didn't, you know, you never seen him. And then the flip side of that, like, I agree with Cahir, was as if Derry just said, listen, okay, we'll go out and play this game, or whatever happens, happens. You know, the big question for me, and obviously for everybody else, is if this game takes place 3 or 4 months down the line, do Mickey Hart and Derry have an alternative? Do they have a backup plan? Do they have something that they're going to come back at Donegal with? Because if this game happens again, you know exactly what Donegal is going to do before the game takes place. So all the question marks lie around Derry for me.
Yeah. And Cahir, just on that, you know, before we get into the game itself, if let's just say Rory Gallagher was still in charge there and the opening 10, 12 minutes happened, Donegal get that goal, do you see Derry just reverting to an exact same matchup at Donegal, saying, right, let's see who wins in a bluff game here? You know, because Derry just stayed in there. I think it was about 22, 24 minutes before I seen Derry go into the complete defensive shape in the game. You know, do you think that at that point Derry had to, like, match Donegal in terms of how they were playing? And I know it would have ended up being a poor spectacle, but do you think that would have happened with a different manager?
Yeah, look, I suppose there's obviously the Rory-Jim factor in terms of how well Rory would have known Jim and probably would have naturally been more aware of exactly what Jim was going to do, exactly what he would have planned. But, I mean, you say about reverting to that, it's probably too late when you're 4 points down to then go and try and play that way, because you're already chasing the game. You know, Derry had the breeze in the first half and were 4 points down. And I was just watching it this morning. I was home late last night, so only saw it this morning. But Enda McGinley highlighted in the Sunday game, and he was exactly right. Like, the way how narrow Donegal defended, again, that was part of the plan in terms of, you know, Derry have scored so many goals, 16 goals this year. They didn't get a sniff of a goal at the weekend, and it was because Donegal played so narrow and they cut off those wee pop passes from Ethan Doherty, and they still tried them on occasions, but they were just playing them into a wall of yellow shirts. And so what they could have done in game to change it, I don't think that, in fairness to Mickey and Gavin, I don't think there was a lot that they could have done in the game once they found themselves 4 points down to try and flip it. I think the damage was done by not preempting it, by not having plans for the plans, if you like, and coming out wanting to play that way and maybe not respecting enough what Donegal were going to bring to it.
Mm. And in that though, Kier, you know, you still got those, you know, you had 7 wides, 8 drops short, you know, still had 17 points. Like, weirdly, you know, the stats of this game don't add up to what actually happened in it when you look at those types of things in terms of, like, there was a lot of opportunity still there for Derry in the game.
I'm not sure. I need to watch it back again. I haven't got a proper chance to watch the game back, but I think there's a wee bit too much being made of that. Derry had, what, 34 shots and kicked 17 points. But by the time there was 20 minutes to go, Donegal were very, very happy to just sit in and let Derry kick points.
Yeah.
You know, they completely dropped off and knew at that point, look, as long as they don't score goals, they're not going to beat us here. So there was no pressure on the shot in the last 20 minutes. And Derry, I think, were on 11 points at that point. And their last 6 points were kind of Donegal nearly said, look, go on ahead and kick points, because as long as you don't score goals, you're not doing us any harm. And there's a wee bit, I don't buy that as much. And also the areas that Derry were shooting from, in the first half and the positions they were shooting from early in the second half when they were against the breeze, I don't think they wanted to be shooting from either. A lot of those shots were from out wide, from kicking into a breeze. I can remember one or two from Paul Cassidy on the right-hand side that you know, hung for an age and dropped wide to the far post, because I didn't think they really wanted to be shooting from there, but they couldn't break Donegal down to get shooting from anywhere else. So within that, the stats probably tell a wee bit of a lie for me, but I would need to watch it back properly to get a proper read on that.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy watching that game back.
Yeah.
That's some of the tough parts of the job. Kevin, tell me this though. You were a defender in your day, Kevin. If a man would buy you and put the ball in the net and then he did it again quite easily, I think you could get hooked and off. Could you believe Lynch, Kevin? I mean, what? I mean, I get Lynch coming out trying to create an overload or join an attack or to build up if there's a press on. But what's he doing out for kickouts? And what's he doing out if he's caught twice and then it goes a third time? Can you believe what you're seeing? I'm like, what is going on here that this man's still up the pitch? I mean, it just there is where the defeat lay. It lay in them goals and it lay in Lynch being out for kickouts. I don't get what the sense is it, because the risk is so huge and he's so slow at getting back in that, you know, he's basically left the goals unguarded.
That's the baffling part for me, and not even from Mickey Harrod's point of view, from a player's point of view, to me, that happens to you once the pitch, you're screaming across at him to get back in goals. Like, you're organising that. You're not going to wait for Mickey Harrod to tell him to get back in.
Is Lynch calling this himself, like, Kevin? Is Lynch saying, I'm doing this? You know, because surely, I don't understand. Like, if I'm the manager there, I'm like, get back into your goals after the first one. Don't be coming out for kickouts. But the fact that it happened three times, it's unbelievable when you think about what was at stake here and the effort that's gone into this game to give away goals in that manner, you know?
Divi, I can go further, and I'm going to lay a wee bit of blame on your door. We should have had one before that, but the Unions man never took it on. Like, Niall O'Donnell had one. He looked up, Lynch was off his line, but he turned back. That should have been the first one.
Yeah.
And then he's hit for another three. Like, to me, it just, you know, and you know Jim as well as I know, I guarantee you that Jim had a stopwatch. He was watching Owen Lynch. He timed him, and he probably was relaying this message that it takes him 3, 4, 5 seconds to get back in. That's how detailed Donegal would have went to turning this. So the fact that Derry didn't say, right, hold on a minute, this is an area that they might go after here, it's just crazy. And I think, I'm trying to listen, you can't take anything away from Donegal because Donegal was so good. But to me, I, how good Derry were the last couple of years, what they've done in the league, I think that one eye is on further down the line. I really do, because there's no way that if you're going out to win that at all cost, that after the first one, to be even after Niall O'Donnell's chance that resulted in Dara's point, that you're not shutting up shop. If you're really, really gung-ho. So to me, that's where the question marks over where is Derry's mindset in terms of, do they need another Ulster title? Did they really want an Ulster title? Or is the bigger prize, is that what they're going after? Because you can't be that naive if you're really set on winning a game, to be. No way.
Mm. It's interesting, Cara, I suppose, if you analyse it then, that, you know, the Ulster final wins, you know, one was on penalties, one they got past Donegal just about, and you know, it was a huge, huge game for them. You know, then obviously you have that league final, the All-Ireland semi. I mean, Monaghan made an All-Ireland semi as well. You know, it's about the top two teams when you get there, and neither team could win. Do you think it's a bit harsh to judge Derry completely on this game, Carr? Or would you say it's a reset thing for Derry now, and, you know, going into the group stages, you know, that they still will be, as everyone was describing them, contenders?
Yeah, I think what it does is, for the first time, you're right in terms of the way that they won their two Ulster titles. They were both very, very, very tight finals. They'd been really impressive in the other four games they played in those 2 years in Ulster. I think for the first time in maybe 3 or 4 years, they have cause to doubt themselves. They're going to look at this now and say, you know, is there something we really need to fix here? And to take up the Owen Lynch point, Owen Lynch has been doing this for 4 years, coming out on the opposition kick out. I remember him in the Division 2 league final last year against Dublin at one point, wanted to close up a pocket so high up the pitch that he ended up almost on the Dublin 21-yard line on a Dublin kick out. And it's been part of the game plan. I think I get some of the criticism, and I get that he was too slow back, but also I don't think it all resides with Oran Lynch either. I think it's the plan, been the plan for 3-4 years, and again, it is that thing of somebody was going to take advantage of it, and Sean Patton was the man to do that. And that's where I feel that Derry underestimated Donegal. They didn't give Sean Patton enough respect for his ability to kick a ball 80 yards as fast and as low a trajectory as Sean Patton can kick it. You know, it's different from most goalkeepers where the ball will hang up. And you're right, Kevin, like your time and Oran Lynch come back. So if it's 3, 4, 5 seconds, sometimes by the time the ball has landed where it's going, a second and a half has passed with the ball floating through the air. Sean Patton, you don't get that second half. And like, if you look at the goals, that's largely what it was. It was the pace and the trajectory on the kick that gave them so much time to have the shot, because Oran Lynch had no time to get back, in the sense of it takes him X amount of time to get back usually. But he didn't have that time. And I felt that Derry should have known that about Sean Patton, that he was the one goalkeeper in Ireland. Niall Morgan almost did the exact same, and he's the other one that's capable of it. There's only two of them. And Niall Morgan almost created a goal exactly the same way for Tyrone yesterday, only they made a mess of it. But it was a wee bit of naivety to not give Sean Patton the respect of saying, we can still do this, and he's not going to punish us.
Again, Kerry, I can't believe it, because I think Patton is just absolutely unbelievable what he does. Kevin, the Donegal ratings, you know, you look at the players, McCall coming in, obviously he'd missed the 4 games before. People were like, would he be too rusty to come in? He comes in, plays brilliantly as ever. You know, Jason McGee, huge. So you had that midfield pairing of McGee, Langan, you obviously Keely McGonigal around there, and Kieran Thompson. So 4 midfielders in that area. Then all the other players are half forward players. So if Donegal sit defensively, when they break, the pace is coming everywhere. They're good on the ball, through the hands. They're breaking the lines. And, you know, it was just sweeping up the pitch. And you know, you'd have to say the tactic was very simple, but carried out brilliantly. And it's back to that thing of, and you remember from Jim's first tenure, that, you know, if you do your job, you play well. So everybody in that team, you could just see there was a real team mantra there of carrying out the tactics. And Derry then, As their game plan started to wilt, you know, they looked like individuals. Isn't that the key to what it was previous and Donegal's success?
100%. I mean, it's all about the collective. You know what I mean? Like, I would pick out big Jason McGee. I thought he had a great game. Darrell Boyle had a great game. But like, outside of that, you know, are you going to pick a Donegal player who shot the lights out? No, they all did their job perfectly. They went about it quietly. Every man looked after his own corner. We broke in packs, but you know, we knew this was coming. That's the only way we really can play. So I go back to Derry again, and Derry should have been prepared for this. I think we needed this game more than Derry did, to be honest. I think it's massive for these young guys' development and buying into what Jim's trying to create. It makes it easier going to training this week now that you've taken that scalp and you've got Tyrone in your sights now. So, like, I think Derry will go back, they'll rebuild, they'll take a few weeks off, and they will come back stronger. Whereas I think for us, the one meant a lot more.
Yeah. And Cara, just on that Donegal performance, Cara, where do you rate this now? Because I think, you know, Division 2, people not giving you a lot of credit for some of the victories in that. You know, you can't expect it to win. Donegal just seemed like they were taking over in Division 2. They were doing enough in games. They would go after teams all the time. They would sit back. You know, again, they kind of played, in many ways, Armagh in the league final, a bit like what they did yesterday in terms of their setup, and stopped any of Armagh using their power and their pace. And there seems to be a real streetwise type intelligence with the Donegal team, which makes them a very difficult proposition now, Cahir, you know, for any side that's coming up against? Like, where do you see Donegal now? Because I think pre this, nobody was even saying, people were obviously expecting Derry to win, and where were Donegal are at. Do you think this game now has catapulted them into, I'm not going to say what was said about Derry before the game, but I'm just saying, where do you see them now, Cahir? I mean, they're obviously favourites for Ulster now, agreed?
Yeah, well, them and Armagh would be a serious Ulster final. I don't think there'd be much in that, but I do expect that to be the Ulster final. Where they're at, like, to me, before this game, they were in the pocket of teams who were just behind Kerry and Dublin, and Derry, I suppose, were in that bracket of three that people were putting them in. I felt that was a wee bit premature, but Derry were certainly third. Whether they were third at the head of the other pack or third at the bottom of the pack of two, if you like, that was the debate. But where Donegal are at, like, the thing gets flipped now. Like, Donegal, once you're the team in everybody's sights, then they give you questions to answer. And to be totally honest, I don't think Tyrone will be able to pose the questions in the way that other teams might. Tyrone have so much individual ability. They're laced with brilliant footballers, but they just lack that wee bit of structure, and they lack that wee bit of, you know, I don't see Tyrone coming with any big surprise. But what's going to happen now in some of the bigger games for Donegal down the line is, right, so, like, Sean Patton's a weapon. They're going to look for that goal off the kick out. So what do? We just give Sean Patton the kick out. We let him chip it to a corner back and see, can Donegal break us down from 140 yards away? Stuff like that, you know, that's the next challenge now for Donegal that's coming down the line. And it's how they then adapt to that. Because what we saw on Saturday was, you know, it was absolutely brilliant to see, in a way, a team attack the counter-attack, attack on the break the way Donegal did. We haven't seen it from anybody, really, in a few years, where when they got the opportunity, they just broke in five, six, seven men, and they ran straight down the middle of the goal, and they went from A to B as quick as they could. It's a time, I think I put up the video of from winning the ball on their own 13, Shane O'Donnell being fouled for the penalty with 17 seconds at breakneck speed up the pitch. And you don't see too many teams doing that now. It's all about the slower transition and getting bodies up ahead of the ball and then working it wide, working around, trying to find a gap. But again, then within that, at some point, somebody's going to do that to Donegal. They're going to sit in and they're going to say, right, we're going to leave bodies back. We're not going to allow you those fast counterattacks. And we're going to see, can you break us down in a structured way if we sit in really tight? So it is hard to know what, we don't know enough about where Donegal are at after Saturday to be putting them anywhere near a bracket of an All-Ireland. They're going to have to face more challenges. But they're where I kind of thought they were. They're in the mix, and they're coming with a serious summer. They're going to have a serious summer one way or another, and it's just where that summer ends.
Yeah. And listen, definitely a work in progress. But I think, Kevin, just going back to what Cara's saying there, you know, I think there's other side. We've seen it in the league where Donegal did go high press at times. They obviously are practicing four different tactics. They didn't need that Saturday evening, was Cara saying, different teams are going to play them different ways. But certainly the bigger teams, should they get to, you know, further down the track or wherever, are going to go after them and are going to attack them. So that tactic that they have there works so well, and they believe in it. Now, the other Ulster teams might make it a bit more difficult for them. But certainly, I suppose, plus points as well. You know, Mareaney coming on, played well. Jamie Brennan and Patrick McBurney coming on. Everybody contributed, just as you were saying there, Kevin. Everybody did their jobs, you know. I see Owen Baum was there. He wasn't actually togged the last night. But Donegal almost up to a clean bill of health. And I suppose, you know, there's real belief in it now, Kevin. I suppose you have this massively quick turnaround, Kevin. It's going to be difficult, but I know we'll get a wee word from Cahir because he was at the Tyrone game yesterday. But, I mean, however difficult it is for us, extra time and a day more, I mean, that's savage for Tyrone. I was even thinking some of them Tyrone lads going to work today. You know, try and get your body right to somehow get ready for a big Ulster Championship game next week. I mean, that's massively difficult, Kim.
Yeah, 100%. To be, like, you know, for, like, obviously, you know, if the outplay, after a win, it's easy, you're bouncing and it's right in that week, you want games. I know people say, listen, there's a short turnaround, but for a player, I guarantee there won't be one player in that squad who's saying, oh, geez, I wish I had another week. They want to taste that again. And the fact that it's back in Celtic Park, you know, they're on the crest of a wave now. And you're right, we're getting stronger. Like, you know what I mean? If you get Owen Barton back in the mix now, but the key for us to be is, if, you know, obviously with this going week on week, that you don't lose one or two of your big hitters before you head into the serious stuff. That's the key for Donegal. That's the danger. We need to be in this bracket. We need to be in the Ulster campaign this year, whereas Derry don't, maybe. You know, they'll take their couple of weeks and they'll head a different route. Whereas we need to be in this mix, but the thing is, hopefully you see it through, that you don't pick up too many before you hit the business end.
Yeah, certainly. Carol, just before we come to that Tyrone game there, just on Derry, you know, before we leave them there, would you be concerned, kind of, just around maybe the Glass and Rogers scenario? You know, people looking at some of the players there around, I don't know, would you call it fatigue or whatever? People keep asking this question about certain players and how much football they're playing. That said, Ethan Doherty was obviously flying at the weekend, so, you know, that doesn't add up. But the way, like, some McGrogan was hooked and Loughlin and that, is there now question marks over Derry? It seemed like they were building a squad that was capable of doing this, that and other. Now there seems to be question marks over players. Would this next few weeks, how do you think Mickey Hart will play these next few weeks? Will it be a rest period and recharge and reset? Or what do you think the training or the tactics will be like, or the thought process now with this big break?
I don't know about the question marks. In terms of, like, Jason McGee's a serious lump of a man. I thought, and to some degree, rightly, TV gave Ryan McHugh man of the match. I thought Jason McGee was man of the match in my eyes, like, in terms of the work that he got through. But, like, it wasn't a fatigue thing for me. As you say, Ethan Doherty was going really well. I thought he kept Derry in the game in the first half. With his couple of points, and it's where they're at in terms of the squad. Like, obviously they lost a couple. Paddy McGrogan has had a bit of a foot injury, you know, hasn't been right. You know, you can tell, like, Paddy McGrogan's a big player for that Derry team and a really consistent player. He wasn't right in the league final. He wasn't right on Saturday. He came off early in both games, and you can see that in him. He's trying to play through it, but it's not working. And now the 4 weeks will help him. They lost Cormac Murphy, who wasn't in the squad, injured from the training week in Portugal. So that limits your options. You had and things then weren't going right, and they threw Gareth McInnes and Niall Toner on really early, and that took away their punch off the bench. Really, that's what they were left with. So in terms of how they approach the next 4 weeks, again, I'll go back to the fact that it's the first time in 4 years they've had real cause to doubt themselves, to feel like, you know, do we need to rip up X, Y, and Z? Because it's been, by and large, a template that they've worked off. It's been really consistent. They've played a similar style of football against everybody. They play the way they play. It's been really effective. And now they're looking at it and saying, well, God, you know, now somebody has shown the way to beat us. What do we do about that? And then do you start to change your own plan? Like, when Derry go out for their first game in the round robin series, the first thing that everybody is going to look at is the first opposition kick out to see where Owen Lynch is. Is he out in the middle of the field, or is he standing on the goal line? Has that changed? And to go back to the Owen Lynch point, sorry, quickly, but it is also so much of what Derry did was Owen Lynch. He was not going to take on men, he was not going to beat men, but he created that 15th attacker. And he could kick a score if he got the opportunity. So teams had to press him at some point. And when they did, pop the ball off. And that created the overlap. Because the other goal, it was 15 against 14 all the time for Derry. And they got really, really good at working that to their advantage. And so there were upsides to it. I know people are saying risk-reward and what was the upside of it. But there's been a whole lot of upside to that for Derry. That has been central to the way that they have attacked in the last couple of years. So... And then it goes to, right, so do we change that now? And do we actually start limiting ourselves? Do we take away ourselves out of the fear of this? So, like, they have big questions to answer. They have big decisions to make over the next month.
Mm. And Kevin, you like myself, you were watching the Cavan Throne game from the bar, so we'll not go into any analysis because you were probably busy telling too many on yarn side. You're half looking up and there's 5 points scored. What happened there? But the car, you were down at the gate.
I went out to watch it, and I bumped into an old teammate, and so I'm going to have to rewatch it today.
Yeah. That's the hassle of having your own bar. You know, it's can be a dangerous place. But hey, Ciar, the Tyrone game, Ciar, you know, it's been a long time. What is it, 41 years? I think it was. You were quoting the day since Tyrone or Gavin have beaten Tyrone. It's a long wait continues. And listen, it was an opportunity for them. You know, particularly listen, Tyrone had the game in the pot. I suppose that's one of the reasons why I love football. You know, there can be that dramatic swing around. But what did you make of that yesterday?
Yeah, 41 years since Gavin have beaten Tyrone in the Championship, all right, 1983, and 27 years since they beat them in the league as well. So there's a serious hex, and they won't get many more chances as good as the one they had yesterday. But like, Tyrone were comfortable up until the black card for Paddy Hampsey, which I felt was a bit harsh. The two yellows would have sorted that out. They were 8 points up, and then Gavin scored 2-1 during the black card period, and all of a sudden it became a game that actually... Tyrone did well to get out of the game because the momentum, the noise, the atmosphere got up, everything turned against them, and the Cavan pulled level 3 times before the end of the game, and never did Tyrone actually let them get ahead. Tyrone then punched the next score every time. So they did well to get out, but it goes back to their, you know, periods then when they're struggling, you know, to concede, what was it, 3-14 in normal time, Cavan was really worrying. Across, and when considering Paddy Hampsey did a fair decent job on Paddy Lynch, kept him to 2 points from play, neither of which he could have done an awful pile about. Matty Donnelly, you know, in the way that Matty Donnelly can say, he pretty much said that, look, if we do that again, we might as well not bother turning up to Donegal on Sunday, and he's right. You know, it was a cracking game. It was a really enjoyable spectacle. But if you're looking at that from a coaching perspective and from a perspective of will Tyrone beat Donegal, no, they definitely wouldn't on the basis of that. They're so reliant on the brilliance of Darragh Canavan and the brilliance of Darren McCurry for wee moments.
They'll need space, Ciar, which they're not going to get next day out to perform. You know, they'll do well, but it's such a different proposition.
Totally. They got acres of it yesterday at times, and they were able to tick men on and win individual battles, and you're right that Donegal won't be as naive. And then what the Tyrone have to counteract that? So you probably see McCurry and Canavan both playing a fair bit deeper and trying to come out round and trying to find wee pockets to shoot from outside because they're not going to get it inside. Tyrone have plenty of good young players. They've actually really, you know, a lot of really good young players, and that team, I think, will come through in time, but at the minute, they're just a wee bit structureless. They're a wee bit shapeless defensively. And they're getting, I mean, that's 3 goals yesterday, 5 goals in Dublin in Croke Park. They've conceded, and they're going in to face a team that has just scored 4 goals in Celtic Park.
Yeah.
I would be worried about how that could turn for Tyrone if things go wrong for them. And then, if they completely go away from it and they say, look, we can't concede goals, so we drop everybody off here and we sit, then I don't know that they have the punch on the break to score enough against Donegal. I can't see any way Donegal don't win that game.
Yeah. You concur with that, Cass, before I let you go?
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's some strong favourites after the performance last week. One thing I will say to you is I was at the Derry and Tyrone league game and they were missing a lot of players that day. I came away from that game and I said to myself, like, I'm serious that they'll have a serious impact this summer. I really do think there's a kick in this Tyrone team. Like, they're powerful in the break, but like Donegal, they've serious power and pace. They can hurt you, so I'm sure that's an area that Jim will say, right, let's try and take away from them, because if we disrespect them, they could sting us. So I'm sure the boys won't do that this week.
Yeah, agree. Listen, I seen them against Mayo too. They were unreal second half, McCurry and Canavan. But as Cara's saying there, they need a space to do that. And Jimmy will be meticulously planning. Funny, in his interview to me, he was on about ramping up. The whole backroom team have to ramp up, you know, and you could see the message was coming
Tactics, you know, that's how.
Tactics. We've got to ramp it up, all right. We've got to ramp it up in the show here because the time is going against us. Coming up after this ad break, I'm going to speak with Niall Cleary because Jimmy's winning matches, but Mickey's winning matches as well. Yes, now, folks, we've turned our attention to hurling, and Niall Cleary is on the Zoom there. Niall Cleary, former county star and all-round good guy. How are you, Niall?
Good, Brennan. Good, thanks. How are you?
Good to see you, sir. Good to see you. Now, listen, another positive performance. We've had a few big ding-dongs with Mayo over the time this last number of years, but certainly after a poorish first half from us, we really came to the fore and pushed that home advantage, home second half.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a good rivalry there building up Mayo for the last few years. Probably are the two kind of standout teams at this level for the last 4 or 5 years. Donegal beat Mayo in a final in 2020, but didn't go up promotion because it was COVID. So they're probably thinking both teams could be playing at a higher standard. But yeah, Saturday, first half was kind of scrappy, Brendan. There was kind of lots of mistakes. That middle third was very congested and both teams were making mistakes. I thought defensively, Donegal were pretty good, particularly Stephen McBride and Jack O'Loughlin. They were excellent defensively. But their use of the ball and stuff, I'd say they'd be disappointed with in the first half. But like you said then, in the second half, they just got on top. Start the second half, both teams kind of started evenly. But then after about 10 minutes into it, Donegal just took hold of it. I think they got 6 points in a row there in the second half at one stage. And that kind of just gave them a good platform to go on and win the game.
Yeah. Do you think there was a bit of, you know, at half time, you know, you're not playing well, you kind of seize that bit of initiative. But a fella was asking me today about it in the dressing room. You know, sometimes there's a lot of calmness now, but then you do need a bit of fire at times if you're not playing well. You get it organised and, you know, you can come out and galvanise second half it very much. You know, Donegal, for two teams, is kind of similar. It was a brilliant second half performance.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think the game was kind of just there in the balance at halftime. It was just looking for somebody to take it by the scruff of the neck. And Donegal brought Jared Gilmore out to the middle of the field in the second half, and he seems to kind of... It was crying out for that, to be honest. Somebody in the middle of the field to get on the ball, use the ball well. He got a couple of points, and Liam McKinney and Conor Gartland as well got a couple of big scores there. So yeah, it was just whichever team wanted it, I think. And Donegal kind of was probably half time, a little bit of both, you know, a little bit of calm, right, simple fixes, but then a little bit of a G up, I'm sure, from Mickey as well to tell the lads, you know, listen, things have to improve here. This is not like we're at a level above this, I suppose.
And tell me, Gilmore could play anywhere then if he's not getting the right service or it isn't working out for him, he can come out and play wherever. He's going to be dangerous wherever, as long as he gets a slitter.
He is, yeah, he's very talented. Like, geez, one of the points he got, yes, 2 points, Brendan, he got. One he got from his own 65, just turned, never even looked at the posts over the bar. Another one he got down underneath the stand and he shipped two or three big tackles and over the bar, you know, there was some high quality scores. Gartland got a lovely score as well. And McKinney got another one around the same time. But yeah, Gilmore, the problem is, I think that he's their best finisher too, and they probably could do with him inside as well because he's the goal threat. That's one area I suppose they will be looking at. They haven't scored a goal in either of the first two games.
Yeah.
They didn't really threaten the goal at the weekend once, maybe. But but I know Danny Cullen is kind of on the comeback, and maybe he'll be able to come in there in the middle third somewhere, and they'll be able to keep Gilmore inside.
You fancy him against Monaghan, get a few goals. Monaghan shifted a few hammerings so far. You would think, and that's a game where they...
Monaghan at home next weekend. Mayo absolutely hammered Monaghan in the first game, and they were beaten again at the weekend there. So you'd imagine their confidence won't be great coming into this game. And I know the lads love playing in O'Donnell Park as well. Great record there. So yeah, you'd imagine they'll take that one, and that'll take them in a great position into the break then, and they've their two away games to finish off against Roscommon and Louth.
Yeah, and Niall, obviously we're one of the favourites for competition. Is there anyone else outside of Mayo who would be your other picks in there in the competition that would be the big rivals?
You'd probably be looking at Roscommon would be on paper the next one, but yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up with Mayo in the final again. They'll be very disappointed with their performance. I know it can be tricky. You know, you have a bit of a journey up to Donegal. I know they travel up on a day, which can be hard. You're on a bus maybe for a couple of hours, and it's hard then to get ready for a game from that point of view. But I think if I was to put my hat on the line now, I'd say that those two teams will meet in the final again, which will be, you know, tricky. It can be hard to beat the same team twice in the 1 year, but I know they won't be looking that far ahead just yet.
Yeah, it seems to be a big thing in momentum, you know, particularly with sides play each other in hurling. There seems to be still that bit more aggression that's in it. You know, just like you're looking at different sports and control and that, but if they're bit between the teeth in hurling, you're in trouble. If the other team gets the run on you, it's hard to stop if somebody has an axe to grind.
You can be behind very quick, Brendan. It is hard to stop. Like, it's scores can start just popping over there. It was the same thing in the Clare and Limerick game at the weekend, just a momentum shift, and Limerick took over. And that was what happened with Donegal in that second half. They just took over. Like, I don't think Mayo even scored from play in the second half. They were bringing the keeper up to take frees, and he scored three or four anyway. So, momentum is a big thing. And even then, momentum across matches. They'll have the confidence up now. Sun is shining again, and they're hurling well. And the good consistency there, you know, McKinney and Gilmore, Rory Campbell, good consistency there over a few games now.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And listen, get on, support the boys this week again. The games are coming thick and fast right across the board. Monaghan this week, Mayo are playing Louth. Niall, thanks for reading that up for us, and I'll be speaking to you as the championship goes on.
Thanks, Brendan. Good luck.
Top class as ever there, Niall Cleary. Fair play to him. Folks, that's wrapping it up this evening. Don't forget to go over and get our supporter under-20s are playing in a semi-final against Derry in McCool Park this Wednesday night, 7:30. Get over and support the lads. The next wave's coming through USB Bards. Men, thanks you very much for listening in tonight. Of course, the Monday Night Sessions is coming up as ever. Jude X, thanks for producing. Parry Helfferty. We'll be seeing you again. Cheers, man.